We're coming down to the wire in the first 16, Sweet 16 game in overtime, Kansas State, Michigan State. So to set it up here, earlier at the end of regulation, Marquise Noel jacked up a three from Steph Curry range. It went no good. Game eventually goes to overtime. And right before they get to overtime, Michigan State ties up the game. Noel comes down the other way, misses a runner. It does not go. You go to overtime. Michigan State was up by one. Noel jacked up a shot once again. He's been sensational. He's got like 18 points, 18 assists. He's been phenomenal tonight in the game. It was poor shot selection, though. He jacks up a three. It was reviewed because a player on Michigan State may or may not have tipped it. I did not get a good enough look. They showed it 3,000 times. I still couldn't tell if he got his fingertips on it, but the shot was so off. It was originally called Kansas State ball. They elected to stick with it. Now, Noel is inbounding the ball. Nice little pass. They hit a jumper in the corner to go up by three. So this is now a 96-93 game in overtime between Kansas State and Michigan State. The game of the year in college basketball so far, the game of the NCAA tournament, and there is 12.5 seconds to go in this one. So we'll keep you up to date. And with 10:02 to go between UConn and Arkansas, UConn is up 73-48. Michigan State now has the ball, and they got stripped by Noel. He picks it up, and it doesn't matter if he makes it or not. Oh! Acrobatic play at the buzzer. So it goes, but it's over. How about the Wildcats of Kansas State? Now, it looked like Michigan State had one opportunity to jack up a shot, and they ended up passing it there. They had maybe two looks, and then Noel with just an incredible play. So you have a guy from New York in the NCAA tournament at Madison Square Garden. This was the same guy that dominated Kentucky. And you had Calipari refer to him as the little kid after the game. So let's see. Okay. They got it right back up to their guard. And Noel just stripped him. And he's dribbling this on out. And by then it's over. And he had a nice little acrobatic play. And he got it to fall. But Kansas State, and we just had their coach on the other day, Jerome Tang. This is first year on the job at Kansas State. He was an assistant with Scott Drew since Scott Drew's first year at Baylor. All those years, leaves for the Kansas State job. Scott Drew said to us the other day, he should be the National Coach of the Year. The Big 12, the media poll before the year, they picked Kansas State last. And now the Wildcats of Kansas State are 40 minutes away from punching their ticket to Houston for the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. They will get the winner of FAU Tennessee that is now having a projected start time of 9:30 p.m. Eastern. That is the 13th time in school history that Kansas State is moving on to the Elite Eight. Find me a better story this year in college basketball than this story of Kansas State. Maybe Fairleigh Dickinson, four wins a year ago. Tobin Anderson comes in. They win the first game against Texas Southern, the play, and they just dominated Purdue before losing to FAU. But you look at Kansas State, they are now dancing to the Elite Eight. And what Marquise Noel did tonight was sensational and really one of the better NCAA tournament or grittiest NCAA tournament efforts you will ever see. He had 20 points and 19 assists. And five steals, makes the big defensive play late. And if he's from Harlem, New York, he's 5'8", if that. I know he's listed at 5'8". So you have that story. You have the Jerome Tang story. And then also, you have Keontae Johnson, you may remember back in 2020 while playing for Florida, he collapsed during a game on the court. And all these years later, he has a new home. And now he's in Kansas State, is able to get back on the basketball court. And what a run this has been. Averaged 17.5 points per game this year, and now he is on his way to the Elite Eight as well. Hickey, I know this is going to sound like, oh, cheesy radio announcer, but this is why you got to love March Madness, because you find out about the stories of teams like this. I know Kansas State was a three going into the tourney, but not a lot of people were talking about them. But you highlight the story of Keontae Johnson, you highlight the story of Marquise Noel, and then you highlight the story of Jerome Tang, who was an assistant forever. First opportunity as a head coach, and he's just absolutely dominating with this Kansas State program.
And this is like a movie, honestly, that most people, including myself, would not believe if this was made into a movie and not reality. Just because even just this game specifically, where you have Marquise Noel, you mentioned, he's a New York native. He's only even, we kind of heard about a lot on the Kentucky game on Sunday. His main motivation was to get back to be able to play in his home city in Madison Square Garden. And not only does he get that opportunity in part, a large part, because of his play against Kentucky, now in this game, he sets the NCAA tournament record with 19 assists. He did a tremendous job setting his teammates up all game long, and then gets the massive, I mean, you want to say inbounds plays to help seal the win, and then also gets the massive steal on the defensive side of the court to prevent Michigan State from taking a game-tying three, dribble out the clock. He is the hero in his homecoming. Again, it's one thing where if Disney Channel wants to make a movie about it, okay, you kind of roll your eyes and, oh, that's great, too good to be true, but okay, kids will eat it up. This is reality, and this is really, really cool to see a kid excited to come back home and not only be a part of a win, be the reason why Kansas State now is one win away from the Final Four, and he could send the Wildcats to the Final Four on his home court in front of his family and friends. Very cool.
If we talk about Tobin Anderson being the coaching star of this tournament, from a playing standpoint, there has not been a better star and a better story in this NCAA tournament from a playing standpoint than Marquise Noel. Like, don't get me wrong, we all know how great Brandon Miller is as a player at Alabama. We all know what Drew Timmy has done at Gonzaga. We all know what Jaquez has done, you know, has done with UCLA. But this story of Marquise Noel, it is shining right now. It is an enormous story. And what makes it so cool too, and you kind of see it right with Steph Curry. Like, how many kids think they could be Steph Curry and then just jack up threes? And it's easy to relate to this guy. He's, what, 5'7", 5'8"? And he is just playing with a tremendous amount of heart and grit. And he's also, by the way, let's not bury this, he was dealing with an ankle injury in the game tonight. There were times where he's hobbling around the court and he's limping. And early on in that second half, I looked at you, Hickey. I said, I don't know if he's going to be able to make it through the game. Because there were times where it was like just plain, you know, of being obvious on the defensive end where he's limping, extremely limping on the court. And to see what he did tonight, stealing the basketball, the no-look passes, driving to the hoop, he's just tremendous. And it's so fun to watch him play basketball. Nothing against Tennessee, nothing against FAU. Rick Barnes has been at this for a long time. Would be awesome to see him go to Final Four. Florida Atlantic with Dusty May. They beat Memphis. And then they beat Fairleigh Dickinson in that bizarre 9-16 game. Right now, Hickey, I don't see how Kansas State doesn't find their way to the Final Four. I know Tennessee was awesome against Duke. And they were physical, and they're a physical team, right? You had the Dusty May comments of the Australian rugby. May have to watch a little bit of that in his preparation for Tennessee. I can't bet against, not saying to win the whole thing, because my pick was Bama. I'll stick with Bama. Mine was Bama, Texas before the tourney did start. I don't see, regardless of who wins between FAU, Tennessee, Hickey, how you pick against Kansas State heading into this Elite Eight date coming up on Saturday night at MSG.
They're a fun story. I still want to see what Tennessee has just because I feel like the Cinderella stories, yes, sometimes they do come to fruition.
But they're not a Cinderella.
They do come crashing down. I mean, we just kind of talked about the last three aspects. Like, they are and they're not. So it's just, I will put them in that. I'll put them in the Cinderella category. I'm putting them in the Cinderella category.
I think the best way to say it is they're disrespected. Because before the year, If you would have told me that this was going to happen, yeah. You say, oh, it's a movie. Yeah, right. It's a Cinderella story. But heading into this tournament, now, this is a team that people weren't talking about them, but just because people aren't talking about them, they're a three seed. It's like they're the quietest three seed that I've ever seen. It's truly remarkable. It's a great story. Tennessee had a tremendous performance against Duke. They really did. And they were just phenomenal. You had the Oliver player who had 27 points in the game. I just can't bet against Johnson and Noel in this region right now. And it's kind of wild when you look at it, because this region, before the tournament started, everyone talking about Purdue, even though Purdue couldn't stop the press to save their or find a way to figure out the press to save their life up against Penn State in the Big Ten championship game and choke that away. People were talking about Memphis maybe going on a nice little run. Duke, everyone was all over Duke, and Duke had a dominant performance against Oral Roberts and then got dominated by Tennessee. That was a lot of noise for Tennessee before this tournament, but they are four. Kentucky was getting hot. Michigan State always gets the benefit of the doubt because of Tom Izzo. Marquette, people are loving the story of Shaka Smart. If Kansas State's the team, and I think they will be the team, that prevails out of the East, it is wild, because I wonder how many brackets actually had them go into the Final Four. Because I was talking about it before the tournament started, that I was thinking about putting in my Final Four, and then I had them just go into the Elite Eight, and I ended up caving to putting Duke in. But I really do wonder how many percentage of brackets, what, like 5 million brackets or something like that? I wonder how many put Kansas State in the Final Four, because they're probably the number three seed that got like no attention heading into this tournament. I know people weren't hot on Baylor, but they get a tremendous amount of respect because of what Scott Drew has built with the Baylor Bears. Xavier, Sean Miller is back. Now, you look at this, really. A lot of these three seeds weren't being talked about headed into the NCAA tournament. So Gonzaga obviously always gets talked about, so they're the exception. But you look at the other three seeds, Kansas State, Baylor, and then you also had Xavier. It's like any of them really got national love heading into this tourney. Baylor justified, and we'll see what happens with Xavier coming up tomorrow night with their matchup up against Texas's squad led by Rodney Terry.
But even look at this region, let's just say Kansas State, for argument's sake, does not make it. I mean, how many people had Tennessee? No one had FAU. It's like, this is one of those regions where
Dusty May's family didn't even have FAU.
Probably not, you know? If we had to put them on, you know, see their brackets, I'm sure theirs is ripped up for a good reason. But it's been a region of chaos so far. They say Kansas State is playing some really, really good basketball. They've been a great story so far, and it's just a really heartwarming story to see how this game ends and who it ends with. And kind of his story, not only being the smallest player on the court, but being from his hometown.
And I took Kansas State. I got him at +1.5. When it did close, they were a 1.5-point favorite. But I got him at +1.5. I also took him on the money line. I think they were like +110 or something like that earlier in the week when I did get them. But heading into overtime, I didn't feel good. The fact that they had to go into overtime, I was not feeling good about it. But they found a way, even when Michigan State took a lead briefly in overtime, to get the game back. And that's just a Kansas State team that the story just continues to get on better and better and better. And it would be very fitting if they do advance to Houston for the Final Four. And we'll see if that happens coming up on Saturday. Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. So here's where we're at right now. UConn, Arkansas, the only enemy for UConn right now is the clock. If this was a boxing match, if this was a UFC fight, the white towel would have been thrown in a little bit earlier. What are you smiling about there, Hickey?
No, just that analogy, right?
Oh, gotcha.
The beatdown.
I'm like, you were like falling over there. I was like, is everything okay? What the heck is happening to Hot Take Hickey? But yeah, the only enemy right now, the only opponent for UConn is the clock. It is 75-54. UConn, first two games of the tournament, they did not play well in the first half. And in the second half, they went on these just enormous runs. That enormous run did come right out of the gate this time, where they're up 46-29 at half. And in the second half, it hasn't been that much better for Arkansas, outside of like a little 7-0 run at one point. So UConn's up 77-54. Florida Atlantic, Tennessee is going to tip off in about 20 minutes or so. And then you got the big heavyweight showdown between Gonzaga and UCLA. And I wonder, like, if I would have said to you before the night started, Hickey, what's the game that's going to be the best game? It's Gonzaga-UCLA. Well, we just saw from Kansas State-Michigan State. If we see UCLA-Gonzaga even be in the same conversation as that, we've had a tremendous night of college basketball, regardless of what happens. Because UConn-Arkansas, unless you're a Huskies fan, it has just been a boring game. It hasn't been close. FAU-Tennessee, even if that's a blowout, with what Michigan State-Kansas State gave us and what we think Gonzaga-UCLA is going to give us, we're looking for what's going to be a tremendous night of college basketball to kick off the first part of the Sweet 16, and then tomorrow you get four other games as well.
I mean, it's tough to beat the game of the year, but, man, if we come close, like I said, with any of these two other games at night, oof, this is going to be a blast.
And then coming up tomorrow, you get San Diego State-Alabama, Miami-Houston, which is supposed to be an exceptional game, Princeton-Creighton. I think that's a tough matchup for Princeton, even though we talked about the size for Arizona. The starting five for Creighton is just a big lineup as well. And then Xavier, Texas, I feel like that's not getting a ton of big buzz, but I think that's going to be a really good game as well between those two teams coming up tomorrow.
I'm with you. I'm excited for that one.
All righty, we'll take a timeout. So here's where we're currently at. Kansas State, congratulations to the Wildcats of K-State. They beat Michigan State in overtime, 98-93. And UConn is just pouring it on Arkansas. It's now 81-56 with 4:38 to go in that one. So I got a parlay that's alive here, Hickey. I got Kansas State. I had them on the money line. I had UConn on the spread. That's easily going to hit. Knock on wood, knock on wood, knock on wood. But this would be like the worst bad beat ever. And then I have Tennessee just money line. So is Dusty May, who I do like. I'm a fan of Dusty May. He invited me to actually get coffee with him next time I'm in Boca Raton.
Yeah, how are you going to tell? How are you going to have coffee with Dusty if you're rooting against him tonight?
Well, if I win, I'll pay for the coffee. If Tennessee wins, I'll pay for the coffee. If they lose, if FAU
Dusty,
wins,
you're enemy number one.
I'm going to need some help here from Dusty May. We'll see if he's even the coach next time I go down to Florida. That wouldn't be a bad hire for your Penn State Nittany Lions.
Hey, I'm open. I'm open.
If I'm Pat Kraft at Penn State, the two phone calls, I don't know if you could get them, but you are a Big Ten school. And no offense to FAU, wonderful place to live. College of Charleston, wonderful place to live. And maybe they could end up getting bigger jobs a year from now. But my first two phone calls, if I'm Pat Kraft at Penn State, he just lost Mike Shrewsbury to Notre Dame, which no one can fault him for doing that. My first two phone calls would be to Pat Kelsey and then also to Dusty May.
My first phone call, Jay Wright. What's so funny?
I'll tell you, that phone call's going to go. Hey, Jay, it's Pat Kraft over here at Penn State. Hey, Pat. Click.
Hey, at least you got an answer.
You think Jay would actually entertain that?
No, but you got to make the call.
Actually, the phone call probably go like this. Hey, it's Pat Kraft at Penn State. Jay, how are you? Dial tone.
I don't know. Jay looks like he's itching to get back.
Jay looks happy on TV.
A great game he just saw. Yeah. I'm sure he's like, oh, man, I'd love to be the coach. You know, I'd love to be
what
the coach back.
What are you smoking? That's not a realistic phone call. Like, I gave you realistic
names. It's not realistic whatsoever, but I think you got to make the call.
So who do you want that is
realistic? I don't know. I got to think about it.
What are you going to tell me next? You got to make a phone call to Calhoun, see if he's interested?
A name that's floated around, not my name, but a name that I saw floated, Greg McDermott. So
he just signed the contract extension.
Why don't we just get every single coach that's been on the show this week and see if they want to?
I don't think I would leave Creighton for Penn State. You're in the Big East.
I was him, I probably wouldn't, but.
Yeah, I would not do that. And also, I think he just signed an extension. Now, who knows what that means?
I was going to say, college coaches signing extensions and then leaving? Wow. I'm shocked. Never seen that happen before.
Hey, if he starts to do a press conference, never say never, but never, then that's a whole different story.
That's true. Mike Tomlin is undefeated in that phrase, and I don't think anyone else has used it wisely.
What was that for?
USC.
Oh, yeah, going to Coach College. He got so annoyed that his name was thrown in there. All righty, we'll take a break. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. A thriller and a dud. That's how you kind of describe the first two games of the Sweet 16, as what a classic that was between Michigan State and Kansas State. Kansas State in overtime gets the job done 98-93. And Marquise Noel, just sensational in the contest with 20 points and 19 assists, and had the big steal at the end of the game as they were up by three. Michigan State with the ball. He was able to strip the ball and then had an acrobatic layup as time expired to get a five-point victory for the Wildcats of Kansas State, who before the year were picked last in the Big 12. And we had Jerome Tang on the other day, and he said before the year started, I knew I had an NCAA tournament team. I'm not saying he thought they could go this far, but he knew they had an NCAA tournament team. Remember, he was with Scott Drew ever since Scott Drew's first year at Baylor. So he knew that he had a team that was better than what people thought they were. And also, that's a heck of a coaching job, obviously getting to the Elite Eight. But Hickey, with all the transferring that you have to deal with, keeping players, bringing in new players, how difficult that is, to be able to get everyone to mesh just what appeared to be so seamlessly is extremely, and I mean extremely impressive. Now, I know Noel was in the program the year before he got there, coming over from Little Rock, but just with how you have to deal with whenever you have a coach a change or not, with how much just natural transferring that is, that's really damn impressive what Jerome Tang has done this year. But before the start of the year, he kind of realized, okay, I have a team that, yeah, they're picked to finish last in the Big 12, but I believe in them, and I know what they're capable of doing. And you see the success story and just what has been a great story, Keontae Johnson back in 2020, unfortunately passing out during a game when he was a Florida and collapsing, and now he transfers into Kansas State, and they wouldn't be here without him. So it shows you, now when you're a coach, it shows the importance of coaching now more than ever in college basketball and in college sports, because when you're a new coach coming in, you have a lot of players that are leaving, and then you have to go get players to come in as well that are in the transfer portal. And it's not like you're at a little school. You're at a Big 12 school here in Kansas State. So he is, I know everyone's going to talk about Noel tomorrow, as they should. He was great. But Jerome Tang, Scott Drew said it, he should be the coach of the year. There's no doubt about that.
First Big 12 coach in history to win three tournament games in his first year at the helm. He's done, like I said, nothing short of a tremendous job, whether it's just empowering the players, because it's too, even watch them on the court, they're not intimidated, they're motivated, and they're confident as hell. Again, they're running basically what is a trick play in the last minute of overtime with a chance to go to the Elite Eight. Like, they are very confident right now. I think that's a large part of coaching, just almost in a way taking a step back and allowing the leaders on your team to do their job. See, some coaches are overbearing, in the face constantly. You don't really allow, you know, the team to kind of grow and mesh together. I think it's one of the things in the calling cards, if you will, for Kansas State. As you see, outside of the physicality, outside of the, you know, their ability to hang a good number on the scoreboard offensively and just our dynamic, they also are a team that is confident, that is, you know, not afraid of the moment, and they gel really, really well together.
All right, let's get to these other two games, because we're just waiting for this to become a final, but it's basically over. UConn's up 86-63 against Arkansas with 120 to go. FAU, Tennessee. The physicality of Tennessee has clearly caught the eye of Dusty May. I think that was actually strategically what he did, was kind of raise a little bit of awareness about the physicality of Tennessee to try to get some calls. Now, I don't know if the FAU coach saying that he gets the clout with the officials. I guess it depends on the officiating crew. With what Tennessee did against Duke, it was very impressive with the team that people thought Duke was. Even though FAU's only lost three games this year, I'm going to take Tennessee tonight. I think it will be closer than probably what people think. I do think there'll be a little regression from the effort of Duke, but I think we're headed on a collision course here of Tennessee and Kansas State coming up on Saturday night at the world's most famous arena.
You know me, I love to disagree, but in this case, I cannot. I think Rocky Top will be moving on. Play the song, let's go. I think we get the Vols tonight.
Okay, now UCLA-Gonzaga. So UCLA, we all knew, had a championship team before the start of the season. When you have Jaime Jaquez, you have Tiger Campbell, and then Jalen Clark was having a sensational season. And unfortunately, he's out of the tourney, and we knew that heading into this NCAA tournament. But UCLA has the injury bug now. Adeem Bona, he's going to play tonight. We'll see how effective he could be, but he's dominant. David Singleton also dealing with an injury bug as well. I look at UCLA, Gonzaga. It's so tough to bet against Gonzaga. I know that they haven't had a championship, but they've been a mainstay in this NCAA tournament. Mick Cronin's done a phenomenal job with UCLA when a lot of people said, oh, he wasn't going to be a fit at UCLA. The guy is just a tremendous coach. So I would always believe in someone like Mick Cronin. I do think this is a heavyweight battle. You remember a few years ago when these two teams met up and how good of a game that was. But I just look at UCLA. I'm not gonna pick against them here in this spot. I think my bracket before the start of this tournament, I did take Gonzaga to take down UCLA. And I was just concerned about the Clark injury. I know the injuries are piling up, but it has not affected them yet in this tournament. I'm going to trust Jaquez and Campbell to get the job done. Just two great winners. This game, I believe it to be close. I thought this game, if there was going to be a game that goes to overtime tonight, it would be this one. Clearly, we already had one with Michigan State and Kansas State. Even though Timmy scares the crap out of me since he's been at Gonzaga forever, I'll take UCLA to just continue to fight through these injuries and get enough at the end of the day to get the job done. Where are you at on this one?
So even with Kansas State, before we kind of mentioned there are three seed, but no one's really talk about them. So they're playing very loose and very confident. I feel the same way with Gonzaga. Like,
fair.
Even though they're a three seed and they've been in the rankings all season long, first time since 2018, they are not a number one seed. And I just feel like just dropping down even two spots has taken an immense amount of pressure and attention off of them. Because every single tournament, whether they're undefeated or can they finally break through and win a championship, it's always the pressure on Gonzaga. Can you finally break through?
And they've been in two finals before with you.
Right. And you don't hear anything about Gonzaga this year. I love that. And like I said, you still have some championship experience with Mark Few, with Drew Timmy. I know UCLA has a ton of experienced guys on the Final 14 the last time these two teams met. So it's not like they're bereft of, you know, big-time moment experience either. Either we'll go with Gonzaga winning this game. I'm with you. I think it's going to be a close game. Another great battle. Maybe not as great as you saw in the bubble a few years ago. And Gonzaga wins, moves to within one win of the Final Four.
You're 100% right, though. When you look at the Gonzaga basketball team, I remember, obviously, it was 2017, where then the championship game up against UNC, they don't win that game. And then a few years ago, when they were undefeated up into the final game, and then Baylor just took it to them and ran them off the court in that one, where they ended up winning 86-70, but the game never felt like it was ever even that close, and that was a 16-point deficit. You just look back going into this tournament, you are right, and maybe it's because, and I think it was John Fant who said this before the start of the tournament when he joined us, maybe it was because of some of the early struggles at the beginning of the year where people were out in Gonzaga and then it's tough to get back in. You always know just how good they could be, but they lose to Texas, they lose to Purdue, they lose to Baylor, and they start the year off 5-3, and they obviously regrouped and got it back together. This team that's now sitting at 28-5. I think you're right, being dropped down a little bit, having five losses, looking a little vulnerable, and just consistently getting there and being in the mix and then coming up short. I do think a lot of people, I don't know if the right way to say it is Gonzaga fatigue, but how many times do you get there and you don't get the job done? I'm not saying it's the similarity to the dominance of like the Georgia football team, but Georgia, they go up against Alabama and they wouldn't win and they would lose in an SEC championship game. They would lose in a national championship game. And it was like almost at a point where it was like, okay, how many times do you keep on giving them the thought that they're going to get the job done, and then they lose that year in the SEC title game to Alabama, and then a few weeks later, we all know what happened in the national title game where you did get Georgia getting the job done up against Alabama. So like, that's how kind of how the way that we felt about Georgia a few years ago, it's kind of like Gonzaga light right now, where they've been the talk. They've been a team that many people thought, okay, is this the year? Is this the year? Is this the year? They looked a little human early on, and now it's like, okay, until you get the job done, how many times are you going to keep on going back to the well and expecting a different outcome here?
Right. You learn how to overcome adversity. And also, too, like, if I feel like the pressure wore on them the last few years. Like, you mentioned the national title game against Baylor. Like, they looked exhausted.
Their national title was the Jalen Suggs.
Right. And when you're undefeated, the amount of pressure on you to kind of come through and get one finally, I feel like it just wore them down. And then even last year, like, they made it to the Sweet 16, but I think it was Memphis, if I'm not mistaken, the round of 32. Like, they needed, like, a dramatic comeback in overtime to, like, barely slip by. And you're like, oh, they are one seed, but they look terrible.
And they ended up losing to Arkansas.
And right, and then get bounced. It's just like they just... That I thought the pressure kind of got to them, and now it's almost like you're reborn again, like a fresh start when, like you said, you lose early and everyone kind of writes you off, and now it's like you're just flying under the radar and no one even knows you're there.
Let me take one before the break. Rich in Chicago next up on CBS Sports Radio. Rich, what do you got?
Hey, I want to give you guys some inspiration about Penn State, and I told your producer that...
Well, that's just Hickey that needs the inspiration about Penn State. That's his school.
All right, well, you're talking about who would be a likely prospect. I'll tell you a guy who's available, and you'll cringe when I tell you, but he could do the job. If you want a guy for 4 or 5 years that can recruit transfers and win fast, Auburn's tired of Bruce Pearl. You could get Bruce Pearl.
Why is Auburn tired of Bruce Pearl?
He's worn them out like he does at Tennessee and everywhere else he goes.
I think the Auburn fan that they haven't had a rich tradition in basketball, I think they are a fool if they're annoyed with the job that Bruce Pearl has done. I get it. They didn't have the best year in the world. They still won an NCAA tournament game. First off, if I don't think Bruce Pearl is, A, leaving Auburn for to go to Penn State. That's number one. But number two, the Auburn fan, I don't even know if that's true. If they're tired of Bruce Pearl, then you guys don't appreciate what Bruce Pearl has done. But I don't think Auburn is anywhere close to thinking about moving on from Bruce Pearl. I don't think that's a realistic name.
Rich is right. I think the Auburn fan hates Bruce Pearl.
That's stupid.
That fire him. Let's go. Get him out.
I see what you did there. But like, seriously, that was a team, that's a program that did not make the NCAA tournament since the last time making it was 2003. Bruce Pearl comes in there. Remember, they go to a Final Four 1 year. But
should have went to the national title that year against Virginia.
Yeah.
They celebrated early on the campus, if you remember that.
You're right. But they have been to the NCAA tournament. Bruce Pearl got there in 2015. Remember, they did not make the tourney. Last time making the tourney was in 2003. He has made it 1, 2, 3, 4 times. 1 year there was no NCAA tournament. So you could say 4 to 6 years. It's really 4 in the last 5 years. And he's got to a Final Four. Auburn fans, I know you could be delusional, right, when it comes to football. If you don't want Bruce Pearl there as the basketball coach anymore, I don't know if that's a popular opinion. You may be one of the most delusional fan bases in the country. Now, I'm not just going to go based off Rich in Chicago's opinion on Bruce Pearl and say that's the entire fan base, but if that's true, I don't know how much more you would want out of a coach when you've been out of the tournament that long. That's crazy to me. And I know last year they had a dominant team in the regular season. You had Smith, who's a stud. You also had Walker Kessler's a stud, and they got bounced out early in the NCAA tournament. Good luck finding a better coach for Auburn than Bruce Pearl with the job that he's done.
I don't know. You said all those stats, all those appearances, Final Four. You know what it sounds like to me? Underachievement. Auburn should expect more, want more. I think you got to show Bruce the door. I think Rich in Chicago is 100% right. Those fans better be sick of him. And you know what? Just to really, really punish him, just ship him right off to state college. That's all. Just one-way flight, one-way ticket. Thanks for
making
nothing,
him
Bruce.
Go to Are You Hungry in the Creamery.
Yeah, I would really, you know, that would just really punish the Penn State fan, too, for beating you 2 years in a row. That's how you get back at him.
Wait, you talking about in football?
Yes, football.
I was going to say.
You know, home and home sweep.
That's how stupid
how do you punish Penn State? Let's just go send him Bruce Pearl. Here's the president. It's like a Trojan horse. You guys are going to really hate this guy, let me tell you.
I love how you use success in football to make a case for basketball, even though you're marinating in sarcasm right now.
Whatever you got to do. Whatever you got to do.
Yeah. Closing bell next.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a custom suit right from home. Fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality, starting at just $499. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Alrighty, let's hear the final call as Michigan State loses to Kansas State. Kansas State is off to the Elite Eight at Madison Square Garden coming up on Saturday as Kansas State gets the job done. This is Gary Cohen on the Westwood One NCAA Tournament Network.
Walker jumps it out to Hauser. Goes right wing to Hall. 8 seconds. Out to Walker. Walker tries to force one up. It's stripped by Noel, who gets the basketball first. Noel drives in, lays it up, and it goes in at the buzzer. And Kansas State has advanced to the Elite Eight.
That's just great. So easy when it goes that way. Kansas State advances to the Elite Eight. Oh, wonderful. Picked last of the Big 12 before the start of the year. New coach Jerome Tang, who's been an assistant at Baylor since Scott Drew first got there in 2003. The brilliance of Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson. Just a great, great, great story. Give a stock up to Kansas State. Let's hear Ed Cooley on why he left Providence for Georgetown. This courtesy of Fox Sports.
It was change. It was change. It was, we thought about it long and hard. My daughter being here was a major motivating thing to do, as she's going to stay here when she graduates in May. I just felt it, you know, being born and raised in Rhode Island, being the head coach of Providence College, who I love. I'll always be a Providence person. I'll always be a Friar. To leave was really, really hard. But when I did a deep dive of what's important, I've always said yes to everybody. And I've always said no to Ed. Coach Cooley did everything, but Ed needed a change. And I thought Georgetown was the place for me to make that change. As hard as it was, because it's in conference, and a lot of people look at that as villainous or betrayal, I hope people give me an opportunity to serve Ed. And it sounds selfish, sounds real selfish, but sometimes change is needed on both sides. And I thought for me, change was needed.
Whenever you talk in the third person, you lose me. Just be honest and say, I needed a change. I'm ready to move on from Providence, and I think Georgetown is a better job. Give a stock down. Horrible answer by Ed Cooley. So we told you about what Nick Saban said in the Tony Mitchell arrest, where he said it's not just college kids being college kids or wrong place at the wrong time. And that was definitely taking a little jab at Nate Oates for the way that he responded to Brandon Miller and sending a message. Let's listen up to Nick Saban, who says his comments weren't directed at Nate Oates.
There's nothing to clarify. You know, I don't watch basketball coaches' press conferences. I've never watched basketball. How many years have I been coaching? You know, never watched one. Never listen to what other people say. And that was strictly about our program and what we do. Had nothing to do with anybody else. I don't make any comments about anybody else. And we hope the basketball team does really, really well.
So what he said was so obvious and so clear, but he could always have that out of, I'm Nick Saban. I run the football program here. That's the cash cow at Alabama. I don't care whatever the basketball coach says. I never pay attention to what the basketball coach says. But he knows what Nate Oates says, even though it's not going to do damage necessarily to the football program, but it just makes Alabama look bad. So you could deny it. We all know what Nick Saban meant. Let's listen up, though. This is Nate Oates responding to what Nick Saban said.
He and I talked that night, and I didn't take it that way at all. Got a ton of respect for Coach. You know, I said my opening press conference when I got hired at Alabama that he may be the best coach for team sports in modern sports history. I mean, when I was a high school coach back in Romulus, I had a whole section of Saban quotes in our practice plan. I still have it. I probably use them a little less now that we're here, and they get plenty of Saban quotes just in the regular media. But I've got a ton of respect for him. He's been tremendously supportive of our program since he's got here. I mean, he says it all the time. He wants the entire athletic department to do well. He's been at multiple games this year. He came yesterday to speak to the team, and, you know, he was good. Players loved it. He and I got a great relationship, and I'm really thankful for the support that he's given us and continues to give us with the basketball program in Alabama.
So you have Coach Saban, who's basically just lying, and then you have Coach Oates, who down deep, he has to be annoyed by the comments because they were just not necessary. They're unnecessary. And Nate Oates knows he has no leg to stand on because he did botch the situation. Also, this is a football god in Nick Saban. You know, this isn't Kentucky, where I understand it's a basketball school. Calipari says that. And then you have the coach of Kentucky in Mark Stoops flip out. And we were kind of surprised by that. But Kentucky football's done well. And obviously Alabama could be on the verge of winning a national championship. But we all know who's still king there. And it's Nick Saban. So I'm giving a stock down to Nate Oates for basically putting his tail in between his legs and going on a minute rant about how great Nick Saban is. And then a stock down to Nick Saban for just not being truthful with what he actually said a few days ago. Sell! And finally, I'm giving one final stock up, actually, to a colleague of ours. And Andrew Perloff, who heard Hickey's take of the Colts now should take Anthony Richardson at 4, and then a year from now, potentially trade Richardson and draft either Caleb Williams or Drake May. We're in the newsroom today. Perloff's in between break on his show, Maggie and Perloff, many of the same CBS Sports Radio, affiliate SiriusXM, channel 158 in the Free Odyssey app. He'll be a company guy. And he's walking past Hickey. He goes, "Congratulations, Ryan." And Ryan's like, "What are you congratulating me on?" I thought he was going to take a Penn State shot at you for Micah Shrewsbury leaving, even though that wouldn't be worthy of congratulations. But I thought he would just rub some salt in the wound. And then he goes, "Congratulations on having maybe the dumbest take you've ever had." Man. Perloff going after you. But I thought it was funny. It gave me a good chuckle, so I'm giving a stock up to Perloff. Big thanks to Anthony Lima. Big thanks to Tobin Anderson for dropping on by, and Bobby Regan. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. We'll recap all these games and preview the other Sweet 16 games. Peace!
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.